is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where we have the absolute best Pelicans analysis, of which I'm going to have one of the writers, Michael McNamara, on later this week, hopefully tomorrow, depends on when we can record, to talk about the Pelicans offseason, which, as they've been losing, and since the All-Star break are now 2-4, looks like the bigger topic rather than the play on the court. But the Pels did play twice this past weekend against the San Antonio Spurs in a losing effort in overtime, and then winning last night against the Los Angeles Lakers on the road before having the second night of a back-to-back on the road against the Jazz in Utah, which is going to probably not be a great game for the Pelicans, though. Utah did play in overtime last night as well, so maybe there's going to be a chance. But this weekend, I'm going to prep you all for this week, tell you about some of the things we're going to talk about, preview the week for you a little bit, recap both these games, that Spurs game, the overtime loss, though it's disappointing and they kind of, you know, stumbled in the fourth quarter there, was a good win. It showed you a lot of the potential for Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Drew Holiday. Same thing for the Laker game. You know, you can say that's a bad win, which it almost certainly is, but a win's a win, and they needed that and got the first one with DeMarcus Cousins here in since he's been in New Orleans. So I want to dive into some of those things with it, some of the numbers from both of those games to kind of compare and contrast them a little bit, and then maybe get you guys set for the week. Before I dive right into the Spurs game and talking about that one, if you haven't given Friday's podcast, the March 3rd one, a listen, please definitely go and do so, as it frames a lot of what to expect for the rest of the Pelican seasons. I had Tass Mellis of NBA TV's The Starters on, and he gave some great insight in what to expect from the Boogie Brow pairing, Fire and Ice, what he's seen so far, really dove into it to give you a lot of great insight. So definitely give that one a listen if you haven't already. Okay, so the 101-98 loss to the Spurs on Friday, that ESPN late game. If you went to the game, you're getting out of there much later than you normally would, which, hey, you had some fun and got to see some free basketball. And I think a lot of Pelicans fans were forgetting the Spurs going into this were, what were they, 46-13. So tough game for the Pelicans, but they managed to keep up with San Antonio, and, you know, before ultimately kind of falling in some late game bad offense, a fourth quarter that was less than ideal, and some, you would call it, let's say, questionable refereeing, kept the Pels from getting their first win with DeMarcus Cousins, though they picked it up two nights later. But overall, you started to see this team come together and the big three playing well. And, I'm going to dive into some of the numbers here. Let's just go right to it. So DeMarcus Cousins, played almost 43 minutes when you count the overtime period, had 19 points, 23 rebounds, which I think they said either tied or beat a franchise high. I'm not entirely sure. Overall, Davis had 29 points, 9 rebounds, and also about 42, 43 minutes. Drew Holiday played the most minutes out of all of them, scored 26 points, did take 27 shot attempts to get there. That's the bit of the concerning thing. But put in, chipped in 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And overall in this game, played much better. Did struggle with turnovers a little bit still. Had 4 on the night. That's still kind of to be expected as he's figuring out the spacing and everything. And again, if that continues on the entire, whatever game, a number of games are remaining, that's going to be a concern going into this offseason, next season, assuming they re-sign him. DeMarcus Cousins also struggled with turnovers. Again, spacing, he's getting doubled and tripled more than I think he expected since he got down here, which leads to him trying to bully his way through that double team a lot of the time, which if it doesn't draw a foul can often end in a turnover. But after the big three, getting that 29 points, 19 points, 26 points, Pels didn't get much else. You can really see there are roster gaps here right now. And that's to be expected, again, trading a lot of depth to bring in Cousins in Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, Buddy Hield, and then losing Omri Caspi for the rest of the season and being forced to waive him. And all of a sudden, guy Hollis Thompson, who they just signed to a second 10-day contract, they announced it today, is getting significant minutes. Almost 30, you know, after a handful of games here with the team. So outside of those big three, not much else. You had Dante Cunningham chip in 8. He was the next biggest scorer for the Pels. That's where they're just going to have some trouble. You've got to fill this roster out this offseason. You know, even if they were getting the playoffs, people were salivating at potentially a matchup with Golden State. Oh man, they're going to get run out of the building because they don't have the offense to keep up. We've seen that. But the good news, and this is something I've talked about over the past week or so on the podcast here, the good news is the uncontested shots and the player tracking data courtesy of the NBA.com stats box score. And you can click on player tracking data so you can all go see what I'm doing here. And I highly encourage you to do so. You can see the uncontested field goals made and uncontested field goals attempted and the uncontested field goal percentage. And these are open shots, basically, which the NBA stats website also tracks. The Pels had 48 in the game against San Antonio. They made 19 of them, which was good for 39.6%. That's bad. That's low. You want to get that to around 45% minimum, and 6% is a significant difference there. But 48 open shots, essentially, and that's more than the team has been averaging all season. So if you, all of a sudden you sign one or two guys who can hit some shots, those uncontested field goals of 48, you're making more than 19 of them, and in a three-point game that goes to overtime, that's your difference right there. If you can just get a few more made shots with better shooters in this offense, and that's not to say they're horrible, but maybe they're inconsistent, you can significantly improve this offense next season, and it can be very scary because now you have the core built, and that's the hardest part. And again, this has been the problem since they brought in DeMarcus Cousins. Against Houston, they shot 27.7% on uncontested field goal attempts. They had close to 50 that game too. The numbers dropped down in Dallas and OKC in terms of uncontested looks, but again, still against Dallas they shot 31.4%, against OKC 38.2%. Against Detroit, the win without DeMarcus Cousins in the lineup, 35.3%. And then against San Antonio, like I said, 39.6. Not ideal. And this, when I talk about the Lakers game in a moment, is going to be the trend that continues. There was a guy on the Pelicans' offense, and not offense, team, let's call it, let's say. And it's not let's say he's on the team. I don't know what's going on with me right now here. Who didn't do well on offense, but was a significant contributor, and that's Solomon Hill. He shot 1 of 5 from the field, 1 of 3 from deep, scored 3 points, that's it, had 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 5 personal fouls. This dude did some work, and you need to really dive into the numbers to see why. He was basically all over Kawhi Leonard all night. That was his assignment, that's who he guarded. Was out there pretty much whenever Kawhi was out there. And was tasked with trying to stop him. Their minutes mirror each other. They played within, it was a difference of 8 seconds that Solomon Hill played 8 seconds less. There we go. 8 seconds less than Kawhi Leonard did. He's out there, basically his sole job is to take care of him. Kawhi scored 31 points, took him 26 attempts to get there. That's not the worst. Got to the line again, 5 fouls, 10 free throw attempts here pretty much. But if you look at the numbers, 31 overall, but he only scored 11 in the second half when Solomon Hill really clamped down. He squared him up, he played against his body the entire time, and tried to do his best from taking over. Kawhi in this game, if you don't have Solomon Hill, easily could have scored 45, 50 points without a doubt. And without Solomon Hill, who, again, doesn't have the greatest offensive game, you're going to have a big problem, and the Pels don't even get close to this whatsoever. And if I'm sounding a bit distracted, it's because I just saw a terrifying horror film, which I haven't seen before on the TV as I'm recording this, set in space. And that sounds terrifying. But if you don't have Solomon Hill, and yeah, Pels fans want him to score more, and if he scores more than 3 points, they might win the game, is what I've been hearing. Look, they're not in this game without Solomon Hill, because all of a sudden Kawhi Leonard went off and embarrassed this defense to the tune of 50, 55 points. Look, I'm not thrilled about the money he's making. I don't think anyone's ever going to be thrilled about the money he's making other than him and his family. But, you know, the $12 million he's making is not worth the defense he gives you necessarily, and it's certainly not worth the offense. But it is the situation it is. He played well tonight. We need to give him credit for that. And the Pels need to figure out what to do this offseason at that small forward spot. If they can get someone who gives you 85% of the defense that Solomon Hill gives you, but significantly more offense, they need to jump all over that and try and bring him in. But if not, you've got to try and upgrade either that two-guard spot, maybe, because that's really the only other place where you're getting a ton of other offensive opportunities. You got Holiday, Davis, Cousins in there, and Solomon Hill. Let's say he's penciled in because he's being the defender there. That two guard spot, you need someone to consistently get their shots and get in scoring positions. Etuan Moore only had 6 points the Spurs game, and you know, again, just doesn't make you feel like he can go out and score 15 points on any given night, unfortunately, despite him being, you know, a decent player. Last thing about the Spurs game before moving on to the Lakers win, that's always nice to say, is the usage percentages, and something, you know, we need to talk about, and that's we're going to keep an eye on going forward. So in that OKC game, Justin Verrier said it the other day, and came from Stats and Info, and I saw it tweeted out that that Davis and Cousins used 90% of the team's possessions. I think that's, and I don't know for sure, and I got to ask him, I believe that's 90% when they were on the floor total, not of the entire game of all 48 minutes. And if you look at the Spurs game, Holiday actually has the highest usage percentage of 32.5%. Anthony Davis is 30.4%. DeMarcus Cousins is 26.3%. Drew Holiday actually used, of the team's entire field goals attempted, used by far the most with 35.1% of them. Next closest was Anthony Davis with 24.3. He was third. DeMarcus Cousins was at 24.7. Holiday really needed that rock, or was using the rock and holding on to the rock in the Spurs game. Didn't deliver the most efficient performance. When you have two other bigs and guys on this team that need the ball as well, to get that kind of scoring from him, you need him to actually play very efficiently. It's not going to work if he's taking 35% of the team's shot attempts, if he's got the highest usage rate on the team, and it leads him to only scoring 26 points. It's got to be done more efficiently, which, hey, we're going to talk about in a minute, because at least in LA, it was a little bit better. So before the Lakers game, and diving in and recapping that from you and pointing out why Holiday played better, as I just said, please do me a favor. You know, this podcast comes to you guys 5 days a week, the only Pels-focused podcast coming to you guys like this, diving in-depth on your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. So please, please, please follow the podcast on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Like it on Facebook. Share it with your friends on Facebook. That would be a huge help doing that for me. It's Locked On Pelicans. You can find it. I updated it the other day with links to all of the DeMarcus Cousins news podcasts. And if you can, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Audio Boom. And if you ever get a chance, rate it 5 stars. No matter what, that actually matters, whether you guys think it does or not. And this podcast is free for you guys 5 days a week. Being there for your morning commute, and liking it, sharing it, all of that, that's what keeps this free. And like I've always said, if anyone's ever interested in advertising here on the podcast, on Locked On Pelicans, rates are very reasonable. All you need to do is email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com, bourbonstshots.com, and I can talk to you more in depth about everything for it. But enough about that. Let's jump to the Lakers game, the 105-97 win, the first win where both Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins have played with this team here. So nice to get that bit of a monkey off their back. This was an interesting game where the Pelicans were winning, then they went down kind of a decent bit, fought back to build a big lead, Their big sleeve was 14 at the time. Blew that, allowed the Lakers to tie it up late in the game before just pulling out a win at the very end, where finally the offense came together after it looked like, oh no, they were going to lose this. Good win, especially when you play the Jazz on the second night of a back-to-back tonight in Utah. They are a very good team, if you remember the beatdown they put on the Pels two, 3 weeks ago. Uncontested shots, also an issue again this game. Pels shot 43, so right around their season average, only made 14 of them this time. Good for 32.6%. Again, the hardest work is done of getting the big three of Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and Jrue Holiday. But they're not the guys who can just do everything. They did enough, and you got just enough from the role players and everyone else outside of that core group to help and get this win. But you need some more if you want to win on a consistent basis. Again, sometimes it's just a players-driven league, and right now you just don't have the horses to carry you to the finish line, which would be the eighth seed and a blowout in the first round of the playoffs against the Warriors or maybe the Spurs, who knows. You need to get help other ways. And yeah, you know, each one more chipped in and scored. But again, 32.6%, I should say, on uncontested shots isn't going to get it done. Now, it helps the bad Lakers team, but you can still see this core of Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and Jrue Holiday coming together. And this is where the usage rates start to equalize and work out to what you would kind of want to see and what you would hope would be the expectation. DeMarcus Cousins had a usage rate of 36. That's fine. Anthony Davis, 33 and a third. And then finally, Jrue Holiday comes in, actually fourth highest. Tim Frazier was above him in only about 12 minutes. Jrue Holiday in 36 minutes had a 19.7 usage rate. He only used 18.2% of the Pelicans' field goal attempts this game, whereas DeMarcus and Anthony Davis were both above 30. So on that 19.7 usage rate, he scored 20 points. Also did chip in those 12 assists, but 20 points on that, basically 20, let's round up, 20% usage. That's exactly what you want of him. He only took 12 field goal attempts. So again, 20 points on 12 field goal attempts. Compared to the Spurs game, this is much more efficient basketball. And this is back to what he was playing like before the All-Star game. Again, it helps it's the Lakers. But if he can start playing like this, this is exactly what the Pelicans would love to have out of him. Chipping in just enough points, assisting on the right amount of baskets. He's not going to average 12. But he's not taking too many shots. That's the key. If he's scoring 26 points on 24 shots, Pels aren't going to win. That's too much. It means you're not getting the ball to DeMarcus Cousins, to Anthony Davis enough. And those are your two, you know, real big guys of that big three. But this is what you want to see out of Jrue Holiday. He was decisive tonight. He got to the line six times. That's perfect. He fed Anthony Davis on the pick and roll, got the ball to DeMarcus Cousins in the post. The entry passes tonight were crisper and better than they've been. And he said after the game, he goes, we need to find ways to have this offense work to get DeMarcus Cousins good entry passes, essentially, I'm paraphrasing now, to get him into positions where he can play in the post because he's such a dominant post player, and it's something the Pelicans have struggled with. But overall, this is what you want to see out of the usage rates. Again, the uncontested field goals, as I've talked about ad nauseum, it seems like this podcast, those even out. You know, even if you're not great shooters, you're still going to, you know, make more than 32-33% of open shots. So as the season goes on, if that remains super low, yeah, that's more damning on the Pelicans supporting cast rather than this offense overall. But you want to keep an eye on if they're just generating more open looks than they have been in the past. And right now it's a little bit split, but overall it looks like the early returns should mean next season's going to be very, very promising for the Pelicans. Another thing that was promising tonight was a lack of turnovers for the Pelicans. 13 overall. Jrue Holiday himself, I got to pull it up. All of a sudden, I had the wrong tab. It's coming. Don't worry. Internet's slow over here in my girlfriend's place. Jrue Holiday only had three, so it's down from four from the other night. But the turnovers are lower overall, and you see this as everyone's starting to fall into their role. Jrue Holiday's not being asked to create too much. It's more just attack and score. So rather than turning the ball over, it's more of a missed shot. It's not a turnover in the backcourt, which is what can kill you and lead to easy transition points. DeMarcus Cousins still finding his way in the spacing, had four turnovers, but after that, it significantly drops, and the fact is it was low despite, you know, again, the fact that the Lakers aren't very good. But this is a good thing. As long as everyone's finding their role, it might take the entire rest of the season for this to be the case. If they make the playoffs, that's great, but really it all comes down to the play of the big three. And again, even if it's one game against a bad team, it's an encouraging sign. So, tough game tonight against the Utah Jazz on the road. Second night of a back-to-back. Maybe the only saving grace here for the Pels is that the Jazz played in overtime. Did win, though, against the Sacramento Kings last night. Hopefully, maybe their fatigue is less than the Pels, though. Not really going to be sure about that. But no matter what, win or lose, again, watch the usage numbers for these three guys. Look for the turnovers and how it's going. Who's taking the majority of the shot attempts? And are they missing open looks? That's really all that matters. You can't boil this all down to one number, one or two stats, and just point to this and say, well, it's not working. There's a lot to say that it is. What's not working is the players around the core three. If they can't get that going, it's not going to happen. And it's going to be on Dell Demps, and that's why this offseason is going to be so key to get those guys who can hit open looks and to hit open three-pointers. Solomon Hill, Dante Cunningham, Etwan Moore, you guys are the next three up after the top three. Need to get up there, hit your shots. You're getting open looks, you know. And the good thing is, to their defense, they're not scared to pull the trigger. So it's happy to see that. So enjoy the game tonight. And you guys know I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap it. So thank you all for listening, and enjoy the game.